Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Robin Scott. Welcome an old friend back to the show, namely Rodney Strong, but this time, a wine of higher class. More importantly, their Symmetry Meritage Red Blend from Alexander Valley. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I am joined by Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver.
You know, it's good to be here. I'm feeling very balanced, like my left and my right are all in alignment. You might say I have symmetry.
God. Yes, that's true. Unfortunately, Triple B is not on tonight because of some sort of problem. She had to retreat. And then she ran across the river someplace, and now she's on the riverbank on some other, I don't know what it was. You know, she blew up a bridge across a dam, though, or something. I don't know what she did.
A bridge over troubled waters?
Yes, I guess. I don't know. Whatever she's been doing, whatever her pet project is or hobby, has not been going well recently. I don't know what that is, but.
So, in general, you're saying she's sulking.
I don't know. I don't want to put words in her mouth, partly because I don't speak Russian, so I wouldn't even know what to say.
Well.
I just, you know, rah, 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 rah. There you go.
That's not
vodka?
Funny.
Is that Russian?
Vodky?
I know that. Yeah. Nevertheless, on tonight's show, Scott has already, you know, provided a lame joke, which he normally does.
Well.
But we're drinking something from...
Good for something.
...the well-known California producer, Rodney Strong. They're big in Sonoma. We all know Rodney Strong. Either you like it or you don't like it.
We mostly like it.
The Sonoma stuff, just your baseline stuff, their Cabernets, things like that, meh. Mm. Not terrible, not great. Their next level up, their Alexander Valley, their Knights Valley... That stuff, and then the Russian River Pinot, and then the Coastal, which are right around $20. We like a lot. And there's Zin. They're Naughty Vines in a river, the hell it's called. Good. Upshot, don't drink it. Don't know it if it's good or not. But those levels are really good. Then you get onto the reserve level. And we've never drank the reserve level here on the show. But tonight we shall. And this is their Symmetry. Scott made that joke earlier.
It's a very good joke.
It is Alexander Valley, this wine is. And it is a Bordeaux blend. Even though it doesn't say that on the label,
well,
it is. That's
what it is.
73% Cab, 10% Merlot, 8% Petit Verdot, 7% Cab Franc, and 2% Malbec. 24 months on French oak, 75% new.
Rob's face quivers when he says Petit Verdot and Cab Franc.
It's not all the quivers.
It just makes him quiver.
I know.
He gets that funny feeling inside.
I just get an erection. No, I don't do that. I used to, then I got over it. Now Petit Verdot is just another name. But this is their version of a Bordeaux blend. You see a lot of different wineries in different areas do this. I mean, Schaefer has TD9. Flora Springs, that's a winery. You don't probably know about it. I do. They have something called Trilogy. They used to be more popular. They haven't been recently. You know, we've had the Alavage from Chimney Rock here on the show. Or Elvage, whatever the hell we said it was. So a lot of different wineries do a Bordeaux blend at different prices. This retail price is about $52. But I didn't pay $52.
You stole it?
No, I didn't steal it. But
you stole it.
I'm going to give you, we're just going to take a pause for 3 seconds, folks. I want you to write down at home how much you think I paid for this $52 bottle of wine. And it is that expensive, by the way. Okay, your time's up. I spent $12.99.
He stole it.
This is the 15 vintage, but I also have the 16 vintage. This I have now, after we drink this bottle, I'll have 6 more bottles. There's a local liquor store that hopefully does not listen to this show. Often they have what I would call a huckleberry of a wine rep that goes in there, and he doesn't know what he's doing. So on the shelf, they had some wine out there that's probably terrible. It's called Symmetry. And so he kept ordering and bringing in Rodney Strong Symmetry, which it's not even spelled the same, but that's okay. And kept stocking the shelf with this for whatever that other thing is. I bought everything I could over a period of time. I don't know, about 10 bottles, drank a few. And then recently I went in and it's gone from the shelf. Matter of fact, they took the tag down because I think they figured it out. I don't know if there is a wine called Symmetry that isn't Rodney Strong Symmetry, but apparently it costs around $12.99. Whatever. They often make mistakes on pricing in there.
It's because they give the wine guy a magic marker to go in and do markdowns. Oh, yeah, you're that guy that does the podcast. Could you help us with pricing?
That's right. That's the perks of being famous. Nevertheless, so that's what we're drinking tonight. It hopefully should be lovely. Also, we're going to talk about, on the potpourri, the Wine Spectator Top 100, at least the top 10. That's always been released as when we're taping this show. But really, do you want to listen to us talk about 100 wines? Probably not. So
they listened. They got this far.
That's true. So we're going to talk about the top 10 tonight, give some thoughts and opinions on that. But nevertheless, we're going to take a break first, because then we're going to come back here on the Wine Vault.
Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back.
And we're back, folks. So, the 2015 Rodney Strong Symmetry. Why the 15 and not the 16? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I wanted it to get a little bit of age to it. I just want to hold them back a little bit. The 16, I think, is a little too young. However, it does have some reviews. And the first one, I'm going to go to the lowest review first. And that's from the Wine Spectator. Yes. And they provided Rodney Strong's Symmetry 87 of their points. Mind you, Symmetry from the Spectator always gets 87, 88. That's what it gets. That's just what it gets. So... And this was by the way, I'll tell you who it's from. That way you can send hate mail. But an open-knit style featuring moderate plum and cherry preserve notes, laced with toasted vanilla and tobacco details. Cabernet, Cab Franc, Petit Verdot, Merlot, and Malbec. Drink now through 2020. 7,000 cases made. I have had the 15. It is still very young. So this James Molesworth was the reviewer here. James really doesn't know what he's talking about.
What was that phrase? Web?
Web.
Wine, what was the first line?
An open-knit style?
Open-knit style. Open.
James really doesn't know his craft.
Open-knit
style. I am not suggesting this wine is the second coming of Petrus. Far from it. But now through 2020 is an ignorant, lazy attempt at a review. Just point that out. Not defending Rodney Strong. I have no sentimental attachment to it. I bought it because I know it. I like it. But it was $12.99 for Christ's sake. That's why I bought it. But that's just dumb. Now, after that, the next reviewer. Speaking of dumb. Not me, though. This is Wilford. Rob the Wine Guy. Scott, did you get my voicemail?
I didn't.
Oh, I was singing Sweet Caroline to you. But I... I sang Sweet Wilford Wong. I sang it about myself.
You would.
Yes, reaching out, touching you, touching me. Sweet Wilford Wong.
I can't even do it right.
Do, do, do. Good times have never been had with Vaseline.
Oh, Jesus. Don't you have a job to do?
There was one time there was a... I am doing my job. There was this one time Vaseline did provide something that was a good time, but... That involved, Scott and this guy named Jeff, and I don't want to talk about it. It was terrible.
because they excluded me. That's all I'm going to say. But I never, did you know, Scott, I didn't know they made that big of a jar of Vaseline. Scott brought in a jar of, it was almost like a 5-gallon bucket
it was
of Vaseline.
Butter.
And Scott said, it's Vaseline wrestling. And I was like, I've got winner. But they just kept wrestling. And they said it was a draw after 7 hours, which was strange. I, you know, it seemed like they got, they both got really, really vigorous for a period of time.
Well, Fred, did you see the movie Borat?
And then Scott said, then he kind of got tired and he said, give me 20 minutes and we'll go to round two. I don't know what happened there. It was strange. Anyway, I did review this wine, Scott. Yeah, I reviewed.
You did.
I did. And I gave a 90 of my points.
Ooh.
I know. Commentary. Wait a minute. They put in my diary again? Hopefully they don't talk about the peanut butter wrestling. Because, you know, Scott, when I said bring peanut butter for peanut butter wrestling, I did not mean bring crunchy peanut butter. You understand. That hurts like hell.
There's only one kind of peanut butter.
No. No, you brought crunchy.
Crunchy?
No. I wanted smooth peanut butter.
Well, you would.
It glides a lot better. You get a peanut up your ass, then you get... Some people have allergies, Scott. Aren't you, you dickhead? Anyway, the 15 Rodney Strong Cemetery Meritage Red is half the sentence. But anyway, gives other Bordeaux red blends a run for their money.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the cannonball run of reviews. Anyway, tasty notes. This wine shines with a lovely fruit and excellent acidity. Its enticing aromas and flavors of black fruit, savory spices, and black licorice fit well together, and even better with a Chateaubriand, or whatever the hell that thing is. It's like a tenderloin. I don't know. Can I point this out? Who would have...
Do you have to?
Well... Nobody could ever guess why they make fun of me on the show with this fucking voice. Blends a run for their money.
Okay. Whatever. Anyway.
Chateaubriand.
Well, maybe. Chateaubriand.
The tenderloin thing.
Oh, I can't see what it is over here. I'm trying to look through my mic and I can't really tell. Anyway.
You know, if you take those two reviews and you put them together, you've got
this is
purposeful.
I know,
internment into a sane asylum.
I know this is James or Tim Atkins. Yes, I got confused with James. I always call myself his name, or maybe I scream his name. I don't know which one it is. Anyway, the wine enthusiast who I never was able to work for. Scott, do you know why they never hired me at the wine enthusiast?
Because of your voice?
Did you talk to them or something? How did you know? They found my, random laughter creepy. I went to the HR department even though I wasn't hired. I don't know why. Anyway... This is the blend of 73% Cabernet with all the things we've already talked about. Thick and viscous. It reminds me of someone. Anyway, it shows a wealth of full-bodied oak, tannin, and tobacco flavors in tune with brambly black cherry and currant. Lifted acidity on the finish. There you go. So.
Couple of 90s
and an 87.
You know. That Dragon's Tooth red blend that I bought gets higher scores than this, sir.
That's a contemporary of this. Well, that's Napa.
Yeah.
And Trefethen has nude pictures of everybody. That Dragon's Tooth might be fine. I don't know.
Well,
I mean, I just have had Trefethen. Scott, have you been to Trefethen?
Not this week.
Strangely enough, I've been to Trefethen.
And you don't care for it.
And Rodney Strong.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. Trefethen was fine. It's just... I think also it's been getting scores recently that are more positive. Perhaps when I was there, and that was back in 2012, they were going through a rough patch because they sucked. Although I didn't really care for that reason that you brought. So,
yeah. So the other similars that Wine.com shows for the Symmetry Meritage 2015, Charles Krug Generations.
A good wine.
Schaefer TD9.
A good wine.
The Floor Springs Trilogy, which you mentioned earlier.
A good wine. All of which are more expensive.
Much more expensive.
Dragon's Tooth, though, is about the same price.
$20 more.
Oh, and then and what else after that?
Saint Supré.
Yeah, the Alou, which is 90, a lot more expensive. The Beaulieu Vineyard Tapestry, which I've had before a few times.
And the BV, we loved. What was the one bottle that we would get for stupid, ridiculous? Well, that, it was Rutherford.
That Muscat. Oh, you mean the cap?
Yeah, that BV, that Rutherford. Oh, yeah. My God.
I bet, you
we
know
got it in a closeout for, it was only $22, and it's regularly in the 40s.
Scott, would you like to know something?
What's that?
I've been to both Saint Supré and BV.
Very nice.
I know. Anderson's Con Valley. We've had the Anderson's Anthology, and we like that. That's a Bordeaux. Oh, that's predominantly Cab, but we like that.
I did.
And Storybook Mountain Vineyards is another one they recommended. They're four reds, but Storybook is better known for Zinfandel, so I never trust Zin producers. And then beyond that, Nyer's Left Bank Red. That might be good, about $44. That's something to try. I like Nyers. We like Nyers. We've had some other Zins, and I've had some of their other things before in the past, and I've always liked Nyers. And they're normally, they're a winery that I always think of Newton, even though they're not the same. But it's they don't cost a shit ton. So $44 for that. Oh, another one. Ferrari Carano. What, Terrasse? Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
Terrasse.
Right, yes. Right.
And I have several bottles of that, too. That is a really good comparison, partly because that's also Alexander Valley. So, in the glass, this is very dark, and we have these in the Grand Bordeaux glasses because why not? Rex in effect on the stereo right now. Rump shaker. Now, one thing I can say about this wine, having had it before, you'll hear me say that several times, it does have a predominant vanilla oak nose. And so, if you're thinking about Bordeaux, that's not what Bordeaux does. So, start off with there. Even though it's French oak, there's a long term on French oak, 24 months, and a high percentage of that oak is new, 75%. So with new oak for a longer period of time, it's going to impart a lot more of those nuances to it.
It comes across as a sweet style vanilla.
It does. Sweet style vanilla, partly because in the background there is a slightly violet perfuminess with deep blackberry and black fruits. Maybe even a little cassis on the nose.
All in all, it's a big nose.
It is a big nose. Very Cali.
Yeah.
In its presentation, but it doesn't smell charred either, which not is a all. Nice thing. Yeah.
The vanilla is so strong and comes across, you know, like you're making a hot chocolate and you put too much vanilla in it. It's just really strong.
The nose also, I think, would qualify as slightly brambly.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's the vanilla that drives you that way, or if it's just the way it is. It's fruit's a little.
It's the berry fruit, the dark berry fruit.
And maybe almost come towards jammy.
So both brambly jammy are synonymous. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's not the darkest thing, but it's dark.
It's dark enough. Yeah, it ticks the box. It's not ink, but not many Cali reds unless they're Harland or that color. So
beautiful legs in the glass.
Mm-hmm.
And so having these huge Bordeaux glasses are very advantageous if you're going to spend a little more on a bottle of wine. You're just going to get more of the nose through the size of the glass.
And invest
in a good set of Grand Cru glasses.
Well, Riedel doesn't charge additional for these, especially if you watch on Amazon occasionally. I think I bought my last set for $44. So it was cheaper than just the Cab Merlot Venoms. And they are Venoms. They're just bigger Venoms. So if you're drinking bigger reds, especially bigger Cabs and Bordeaux blends of any kind, and things from Bordeaux or, you know, from Tuscany, Bordeaux, you know, Cab predominant wines, these are something that you want to have.
Yeah, and It's not the bigger is better thing. It's just,
yeah, there's
it's just the right way to do certain wines.
There's certain ones that I don't bother with. I mean, if you're drinking a $20 California Cabernet,
no,
or from Napa or something like that, it only makes it worse. Something from Chile, you don't drink out of this. Some things you don't want to push the envelope a little bit. I find Chilean wines, especially Chilean Cabernets, do better in like the New World Syrah glasses. I close it off just a little bit, and it works a little bit better in those glasses. So,
But yeah, if you,
you experiment too. If experiment.
You're willing to spend a little more for a bottle of wine, get into the $50-$60 range. Splurge for a set of these nice Bordeaux Grand Cru glasses for that occasion. And they'll work on a straight cab.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can use these for a straight cab.
Oh, sure. That. Yeah, yeah. So.
And it's just...
nice.
Yeah, it's nice. Not bougie. Not necessarily more classy or more elegant. It's just nice.
Mm-hmm. Here we go. This is, and the Triple B does not like this wine. And why? Because it is, it does feature the oak. I just noticed this is only 20 months on French oak. So they vary from year to year. So somewhere between 24 and 20. But the feature, there is black fruit and plenty of it, right? But it's all framed by that French oak.
Yeah.
It's very nice. Oak.
There's a little bit of a char to it.
A little bit.
Just a snidgems.
But it's not American, so it doesn't...
It's yeah. Nice, but it is what frames the wine. Mm-hmm. Not as big-bodied as I thought it would be.
Well, first of all, it has... if we think about Alexander Valley, Alexander Valley are brooding wines. They're bigger wines in Cabernet. But they aren't punch you in the face. It has that slithery, silky mouthfeel that Alexander mm-hmm. Valley Cabernets have. And then it does have that brooding, dark, dark fruits. But they aren't necessarily extremely tannic. Mm-mm. They aren't necessarily designed to age for 20 years, 25 years. They aren't. So... you have to like Alexander Valley. I love Alexander Valley, so it speaks to me in that regard. I'm not expecting something that is a brick wall of tannin and, you know, fruit that you can't even really... because say you did something from Oakville, right? At the same age, and it would just be hard to drink right now. A lot of those wines are. This is like that premium wine you drink while you wait for... your single vineyard Cabernets to mature.
Gotcha.
Even like Schaefer would say, you drink your TD9 while you wait for your Hillside Select to be ready.
To mature.
Now, Ronnie Strong has single vineyard stuff like Rockside and a few, or Rockside, is that what it's called? Rockslide, who knows?
Rockslide.
Yeah, they have a few different Crown, maybe. I don't know. They have some, you know, single vineyard ones. But this isn't necessarily for that, because they're still sub 100. But think of why a better wine, a top-tier Napa winery would do a Bordeaux blend. Why? Because it does give them something that their fans, the people that really follow them and love them, gives them something that's a little more accessible in the short term to drink. And that's very exciting. You just don't want your people to buy five bottles of whatever it is for the year. And then say, screw it. You know, I can't do anything with that.
Right.
No. You want to fill in the gaps. Now, obviously, the filling in the gaps is pretty damn expensive. But, hey, if you're a collector of Hillside Select, yeah, you're going to buy a case of TD9. You're going to do that. Yeah. If you can find them Merlot, you might want to do that. But, you know, even their 0.5, we're just talking about Schaefer. I know Ronnie Strong's probably like gritting their teeth. Why are you talking about Schaefer? Because it's an easy example to explain. And everybody that knows wine kind of knows that line, right?
Yep.
And so, you know, you got your 0.5, that's something else. But this, that fills that gap in. You know, Fuller Springs, I think their top wine is their trilogy, I think. I would say different, but who the hell knows? Krug, not necessarily, but because they have higher end stuff than that. But yeah, Chimney Rock.
Rockaway, Alexander's Crown, Brothers.
Mm-hmm. All single vineyard stuff.
Cooley Ranch Vineyard.
Are they all Alexander Valley? I think that they probably would probably be most likely.
Yes.
That's where they stick to. We happen to really like that mid-20s, mid to low-20s stuff that they do. But this is a different wine than those. This is a vastly more sophisticated, mature wine. If you were in a wine, if you were in a great steakhouse, Scott, here's the thing. You can't pull out your you know, expensive $100 bottle cap. You need something that can be drank now, but still in that label that you love.
Right.
This is what these wines are for, too. So this is a great steak wine, a beautiful wine. I mean, it's the steal of the century if you buy it at $12. But it's still a good wine at 50.
You know, you could probably still get prosecuted in some parts of the county for this.
Amen. What are your thoughts, Scott?
Yeah, so there is, back to the different offerings of Rodney Strong, they're mostly Alexander Valley. There is one that's just got the Sonoma County designation.
Oh, sure, 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 yeah.
The Cooley Ranch Vineyard, which actually I would have thought that was Alexander Vineyards. It's one of their more expensive ones.
Well, it could be. I mean, there's some other. Was Moon Mountain is Sonoma. Maybe it's Moon Mountain.
They're not showing that listing.
Well, yeah, because that would, if it was Moon Mountain, you would say, hey, we're Moon Mountain.
Right. So, a little bit of leather in the mid palate.
Touch.
Nice fruit balance between. I don't know that on the palate it's brambly berry, but there's blackberry fruit, but also the nice balance with more savory fruit. I don't know that I'd go all the way blackcurrant, but it's headed that way.
You know what's nice about the palate? Aside from maybe a little bit more oak than what you'd be accustomed to, it does taste of Bordeaux on the palate. More so than the nose does, you know what I mean? Also, on a drinkability scale, 1 to 10.
It's up there.
This is a 12.
It's up there. With this style of oaking, it doesn't make me think as much of Bordeaux, just because of the difference in the oaking.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
But the palate, everything else, yeah, this might even... Maybe this has a creamier mouthfeel.
Yeah, it's slightly showier than those, there but you go. A good one.
It's like a showy Bordeaux.
Mm-hmm.
But those things are
left back.
Not what you're comparing to the Bordeaux in this. What is the Bordeaux in this is the way everything blends together. Nothing's out of place. You know it's a Bordeaux blend, that just the varietals that are in there. Yeah, I would blind taste if somebody said Bordeaux or California, I'd go California.
Oh, sure, sure, because of the oak.
Right, but and also the mouthfeel of it, but...
Well, the oak creates that mouthfeel. That's the point, you know? The French oak rounds it up, softens it, silkens it.
This is what you want a California Bordeaux blend to be.
You do, don't you?
This is everything you want it to be. You don't want it to be. I mean, we appreciate when someone outside Bordeaux does a Bordeaux blend and it's got that feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is, for those that love Cali wine, this is a Cali-style Bordeaux blend, and it hits all the marks.
It just is done well, too. I mean, that's the thing. It just... They didn't screw it up. They didn't say, you know what? We have to put our mark on this.
Yeah.
And that's kind of, I think, why the spectator's like, well, you know, 87. Because they're ignoring the fact that this is the, it's like Thanksgiving dinner. You know, is there anything that is haute cuisine for Thanksgiving? No. And that's really topical right now. But, because it's almost Thanksgiving. But... you really, really like it. You know, it's where you get 10,000 calories from. You love Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
And this has that kind of thing to it. It kind of has that kind of feel to it. It's kind of like, well, I'm thinking back about the Gunlock Bunshu Mountain Cuvée. That is a brighter wine, not nearly as sophisticated as this. It's very nice, though. It's a Thanksgiving day dinner wine as well.
Yeah.
Where you just enjoy life drinking it. This, I really enjoy life. I spent $12 on it, but I would buy this at 50 occasionally. I'm not going to buy 50 of them, but I might, just to know that's quality. That wine right there, I know it's going to be solid. I know it's going to be good. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to drink it over the next 3 to 4 years. And you know what? It could be anything I want it to be. It could be a really great Friday night drink. Or I could say, you know what? This is a special occasion. You know, another thing that's good like this, although the blend, you got to mix it up, is the Harriet and what is it? It's from Paso. It's My Favorite Neighbor.
Yeah, my favorite neighbor.
Yeah, that one was pretty good too, and that's 33. Having had it a couple times too, I like it, but I love this. This is just a little bit more sophisticated, partly because, quite frankly, it's Alexander Valley.
And not Paso.
I'm a sucker for Alexander Valley, mind you too. I am a simp for that wine. I'm Joffrey for Alexander Valley. Good Alexander Valley, or even pretty good Alexander Valley. Or okay Alexander Valley.
I just
love it.
My Favorite Neighbor versus Symmetry, I just prefer this stylistically a little more.
Oh, yeah.
Just the mouthfeel alone. I like this one.
Yeah. And I would think that Becky would like this better given the mouthfeel.
But
she doesn't.
Just about to say,
mm-hmm.
If you catch her right and you don't introduce it by saying, hey, this is okay, you're going to hate it. And just...
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about the mouthfeel of this, you know, and just let her ease into it? Maybe she'd get past the oaking on this.
The oaking not only imparts that silky mouthfeel, it also imparts a wonderful chocolatey aspect to this wine all the way through.
Right there with the leather.
Yes, and a little bit of tobacco, but it's not overstated because this wine is slightly more uptown, but not the dreaded jazziness. I hate jazzy. You know,
you love Washington jazzy stuff.
No, I don't. And jazzy, by jazzy, I mean like, it just tastes like a hangover. It just does, man. By the way, last weekend, I need to be watching what the ABVs on things were. Because I think we did 2 15-percenters back to back. And I would feel like shit the next day. But that Sean Miner, that hasn't aired as of right now. The Sean Miner was a tasty drink.
I love that.
When we didn't want it to be a tasty drink because we didn't
you
want
to didn't, get, you didn't want it to be a tasty drink.
I didn't
drink.
Want to get annihilated. I did fall asleep, and then Scott turned all the lights off down here in the basement. I woke up at like 12 o'clock, and he's gone. And but
you
didn't carry
you
everything.
Up.
Well, no, I was passed out. I was a sleepy boy. But yeah, you carried everything up, and I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I didn't even clean anything. I said, fuck it, and went to bed.
You were done, dude.
I was. I'm not dumb tonight, though. I'm very happy. I like this wine.
You're not dumb tonight?
No, well, I'm not dumb ever. I'm very brilliant.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, no. By the way, Apple, I would like to tell you this, because we use a MacBook Air to record off of. I don't need to see a fucking pop-up for update Apple ID settings. When I want to fucking update the Apple settings, I will fucking do it. This thing has more fucking goddamn pop-ups than a fucking children's book. It's fucking ridiculous. It wants to like, it always is like, do you want to do this? Do you want to? Fuck you. Yes, Microsoft, they fall apart, whatever. But I don't have all these goddamn pop-ups all the goddamn time that I have to click on. You know what I hate really about it? Sometimes, like Adobe is on this computer, I don't know where, and it says, do you want to update? No. Guess what it does? It takes you to the fucking Adobe page, even though you said, I don't want to go to your goddamn page, Adobe. Suck a dick, Adobe. Suck a big dick.
Here's a note to self. Every once in a while, you turn your computer off, and you hit in your settings, you say, update. Then it won't bother you because you keep your computer updated, and they won't ask you every 5 minutes. Hey, do you want to update this computer that you haven't updated in 20 years, sir?
Do you want to know why I can't do that? because it's all through Becky's Apple ID, and she doesn't remember what her goddamn Apple ID passcode is. I couldn't put it in if I wanted to.
I don't know what it is. I don't have a Russian keyboard. I can't type it in.
It should be the same thing as her Apple ID on her phone.
It's the same. She doesn't know what it is there.
There is a process for going and resetting it. It's burdensome.
I mean, she did go to a community college, so we got to
carry some slack. Easy.
Well, she did. Spent a lot of time there, too.
I got two master's degrees.
Did you? Or did it just take you that long?
You're a bad man.
Not on. She can't defend herself or give me dirty looks. So I just give her stuck my tongue at her.
Sticking his tongue out at his wife who's not in her seat.
Whoop, whoop. So, folks, we're going to take a break.
Boop, 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 boop.
I know. Man, there was so many wines that could have been on the show tonight. I was like, you know, yeah. It's like, how mean could I be? We also have we have a lot of things in the queue right now. But one, and I don't really know how to do this, white port from Santo Dame. We're going to have to figure out how to do that. So
you just do it.
We're just going to do it. Yeah, you're right. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. But be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the potpourri for tonight. We're going to have a discussion. Well, we're just going to talk about the Wine Spectator Top 100 list. It's that time of year, folks. We all know that. We all get excited because we're losers. I would like to say it differently, but that really is the truth. We're a bunch of losers that look at a big glossy mag and say, which wine should I not be able to buy and seek out and look like a D-bag if I go into my local wine shop? Do you have? And then they look at you and say, fuck off, dickhead. Now, my thoughts generally on the top 100 list. It's fun. It's fun fiction. The wines, mostly, the wines that, some of them aren't released yet. I can tell you the 19 Double Diamond, I don't believe is released yet. The 18s are in the stores currently. It got number one, which is an interesting choice. I mean, it's something that gets, 13,000 or 10,000 cases made. It's by, it's by Schrader Cellars, and Schrader Cellars is a cult winery. Similar to Harlan, similar to Screaming Eagle, not quite as expensive, but still pretty fucking expensive. And this is their, I guess you'd call it second label. It's under $100. I mean, it really legitimately is 70 to 80, but you're going to see it cost more than that. I don't think that Schrader, though, wants their Double Diamond to cost $125 because then they would lose that sub, $100 segment. A lot of those wineries like Schrader, like Dominus, they have Knapp Nook. All right. What's another one? What is another one that's like that?
Well,
some of them. There's a lot of them, forgetting that, that have a second label. And this is what that is. And so I commend them for choosing a wine that really, in reality, people should theoretically be able to buy. Should. Although, I don't believe the 19's been released, and when it is, it's all going to get gobbled up. Even though it got a 94, which isn't necessarily burning the...
Well, it gets number one on the list, of course.
For a 94. And it should, quite frankly, Scott, it should have a higher score than that for a number one.
But they don't always do that. I mean, they right. don't. It's they don't.
But in the top 10 for, American wines, you have Quesita Creek, which is always in the top 10.
A little bit more than $80.
It's $200. And it normally can be had on wine.com. Almost always. I think, is there a Quesita Creek right now available?
But there is. I don't think so.
I've never had the Big Dog Columbia, but I've had their other stuff. It's really a really good wine. But it's $200, man. And that just kind of, you know, you got to.
Yeah, not available for us. I'll bet across the country it's available on wine.com.
Most right now it's not available, but most generally it's available.
Yeah.
Okay, you can buy it. But it's $200. It's whatever. Cristal is number 10. By the way, it's the 2014 vintage. I saw the 2014 vintage Cristal. This Cristal at Giant Eagle in Pickerington. That is there. And by the way, it's not $400. It's like $200.
Hmm.
Maybe $180. So that is around. Cristal, though, they make a lot of cases of that. What's the case production on Cristal? A shit ton.
There's almost 10,000 imported.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot. It's a wine you can buy. I wouldn't buy it at $400, but you can buy it. Chateau Talbot is number 4. That's a Bordeaux, St. Julien. It's around. Normally you can find it at, one place I know you can find it normally is Total Wine, if you have a Total Wine near you. And it's sub 100. That's a good choice. The Antinori is number 5. It's basically the Sangiovese. What is it? Tignanello, is that what it is?
Yeah, Tignanello.
Tignanello, once again, fairly available. Low 100s.
It's a Sangiovese Cab and Cab Franc blend.
Number 2 is a Brunello, and it is the, what is it? I've never seen this wine before. Fattoria de Barbie. I don't know it. Never seen it before. Very, very interesting label, though. And then number 8 is actually a Super Tuscan, but it's a Cab base blend. The Fattoria de Poupiel, is that what it is?
Mm.
Puppille. And it's 70% Cabernet, then 26% Merlot, and 4% Petit Verdot. 15 months in French oak. That's nice. That's a nice blend.
Poupilla?
Yeah, something like that. Around $100. So, the shocker was the Double Diamond, and also Beaucastel. They're in there at number 7. That's a Chateauneuf. That's a very common, well-known, elite Chateauneuf. Costs around $100. Not too bad.
They got it listed as $120 here.
Mm-hmm. HDV, number 4, or number 3 in the world. There's Chardonnay from Napa Valley Hyde Vineyard. One thing, though, I think that Spectator does. One criteria is availability, in theory. It's case production. They don't try to choose things where there's
50 cases imported.
Yes, because that's stupid. They don't try to do that, and I commend them for that.
It's
the problem with a lot of these wines is once they get on the list, people just go seek them and try to buy them up as much as they can. I don't think that Double Diamond has been released yet. It should be probably pretty soon. I just bought some of the Estate by Robert Mondavi, their Oakville, number 6. But the other ones, if you have wine shops around you, have some connections, theoretically you should be able to buy them.
You should be able to find Antinori.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
The Tignanello, you can find that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good wines you can spend $145 for.
Mm.
Just don't know that I'm going to go that way.
No, it's like, okay, it was in the top 10. Oh, that makes me want to spend more of it. No, I originally saw the Mondavi one. I like Oakville. I've had it before. I would like to buy some of that if I ever found it. I saw it, I bought it. But the rest of them, I'm not going to seek out.
I'd just rather buy two $60 Barolos.
Yeah. By Pablo Scovino.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, there's nothing that's so unique about these wines that makes you really run out and buy them.
Stylistically, what would I be most likely to buy? Probably the Mondavi that you got, just simply because.
Yeah. Beaucastel, you would like the Beaucastel.
Oh, yeah, the Chateauneuf du Pape.
Yeah.
Again, there's so many Chateauneufs at 75, 80, 90.
But if you're going to talk about, 100 wines to try before you die, the Beaucastel would probably be on that list.
Okay.
On this, 100 wines that you should try before you die, Beaucastel, out of all those, and Quisita Creek, and probably Cristal, those three are the ones that probably be on that list.
Hmm.
Theoretically. I mean, as much as I'd like to say those are two Italians, there are three Italians. No one, the Tagliniello is probably the most famous, but it's Antinori. So, woo, Antinori.
Yeah, and it's Antinori.
I haven't
had that higher end Antinori, but, we did that wine tasting with Antinori, and it was like, okay.
Yeah, we had their Brunello.
It was good.
It was good. It wasn't.
It wasn't great. It really wasn't.
It wasn't memorable. It was so average. And they're a big wine producer. So you're not getting like a lot of those nuances. I mean, because big minds, boardrooms, that always does come across in the wine.
It really does.
Some wines, it doesn't matter as much. Some styles, doesn't matter as much. But some of them, it does. It does matter at certain times. So, like on Rotten and Strong Symmetry, they've been doing this long enough. A boardroom is not going to affect this wine.
Right.
But they're also not shooting for the stars with that wine. This wine. They are getting something that is consistent every year that people really enjoy. But when you're talking about some of these Brunellos and single vineyards, this and that, the more that they take away from natural winemaking, well, that's a bad term, but the more it drifts away from what's happening at the vineyard, what's happening at the winery, affects it. So if more decisions are made where there isn't a grape stain on the ground, the worse the wine gets.
Yeah.
And that's something that I think that at least California is going to have to reckon with eventually. Do they want to have all these factory wines here and there? Do they want to, for the most part, grocery stores to be filled up with things that aren't representative of what they're proud of? I don't know. You tell me.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't be. If it's going to bring down my brand, if it's going to bring down the reputation of all the wines that we make across the state, I don't know.
Right.
I mean, if I'm a California winemaker, I'm pushing legislation to have labeling that says factory made as opposed to a state or something like that. I'm pushing for that. Where is the wine made? Is it made in a factory? Is it made by pressing a button? Or is it made with care and passion, artistry, and tradition? I don't know.
Good luck with that.
I know. Well, folks, we're going to take a break, but be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So, the 2015 Rodney Strong. Now, before we get into the review section, Scott, let's go through this wine back to front. Everything we taste. I'll start.
Too late. I'm going to start. I'm going to go with the oak, the nice char on the oak.
Cassis.
Leather.
A little bit of blueberry.
Okay.
And the fleshiness and the richness of a blackberry as well. The blueberry adds a little bit of jazziness to it. We just had some really great blueberries today. I was able to give William and Luke a lesson on where color comes from in red wines. So the flesh of a blueberry is, you know, tail.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I explained, so there you see, the juice of a blueberry, if you don't include the skins, would be clear, or white anyway.
Hmm.
They're like, oh yeah.
I'm going full in the black currant.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just a nice fruit profile that you can pick out these different components in it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going chocolate.
Yep.
On the mid palate.
A lith mouthfeel. It's not, it's continued to open, It's not quite as creamy as it once was. It's become a little more
lithy. Just like Bordeaux would be. And there is just a twinkle of minerality. Not quite slate, but just this little, maybe slight limestone in the background. Where are you getting that? Two or three pebbles. Mid palate. It's mixed in there with the oak, but it's very, very subtle. It just gives it a little bit of structure, a little bit more of a dimension that otherwise it would be a little bit more flabby. It's not, though. I think that also might be mixed in with just a wink of the acidity. And by the way, Molestone, I believe that's what your name is, 2020? No, this wine is going very, very strong at 2022, and it will still be going strong at 2025. Drinking window, Scott, what would you give the drinking window?
Yeah, I like it right where it's at here.
Oh, this is really great.
Could it get to 2025? Maybe you're right there. I'd be worried to go that long.
I'd say now through 2025.
Because I'm not sure where the tannins would take this. They're still there.
But the oak is still so present.
Yeah.
And if it turns in maybe a little bit, remember like the élevage? How that softened a little bit. This wine would be nice like that too. Even a lesser, slightly lesser presence version of this wine would still be very nice.
I'm thinking what I would pair with this.
Oh, yeah.
A nice bouillabaisse. Or actually, like cioppino. You know, a tomato broth-based thing, but I wouldn't be afraid. The cioppino, I think, would be a wonderful red wine to have with that seafood dish. When I think of cioppino, I think of red wine, always. I know people do white wine with it. I know you're supposed to.
It's a pretty robust kind of.
One of my favorite local dishes, the local art museum does oxtail stew. It's so good.
This would be nice with that.
It's so good.
Yeah.
But it's tomato based and it's mostly the oxtail.
This would do well with the filet. Broth. This would do well with filet too.
Okay.
Not blue cheese filet. Maybe just a nice reduction sauce on the filet.
Maybe, like, you know, if you were out of town and you went to a restaurant and you thought it was going to be good, but you were wrong, you would order tornadoes of beef.
Vincenzo, that's the cutlets of beef. Vincenzo's. You heard us speak last week about Vincenzo. Any more thoughts about Vincenzo's?
I think we closed with it just perfectly.
Man, I have not inhaled any butane themselves recently, so I don't. You know, I never smelled butane in cup of soup before. But it's an aroma I'll never forget. Folks, when you walk in the front door, if something smells like butane in cup of soup and you're not walking into a mobile home, maybe you shouldn't go there.
You know, maybe it didn't smell like cup of soup. Maybe before we got there, somebody heated their cup of soup in the back
as opposed
on
to
the Bunsen
eating
burners.
And then they brought it out. They're like, oh, we got a special. It's Lipton. Oh, yeah. That's right. No. It's Lipton, baby. You know, and quite frankly, the guy at the front desk or like the whatever you want to call him, the cedar, I would call it. There's a fancy
Maitre
name
D.
for it. Yeah, I know. That dude looked like he was a bouncer at a nightclub. He was not a maitre d'.
He was just making sure nobody left without paying their bill.
Oh, yeah.
He looked so bad they needed to pay somebody to do that.
Thanks, man. Jesus. I haven't. It almost reminded me of the stupidity of the restaurant that's now closed in Pickering called Genuines.
Oh, your favorite place.
Yes. It's like your meal sucked so bad that the cook said, no, we can't serve that. So you're going to wait 30 more minutes until they cook it themselves. He's a perfectionist. I went, he's just fucking reheating it in the microwave, you dumb ass. It's all Stouffer's. By the way, the owner was the chef. And by the way, when I actually got what he reheated, it was terrible then. Genuines. It's like, Jesus, man.
Got a good write-up.
By who? The health department?
From the Fairfield from the Fairfield County paper.
They wrote, no roaches.
What's it called? A Fairfield County Reporter?
They're like,
the monthly paper.
Lancaster Equal Gazette. They're like, no roaches, no rat feces. And they're like, yes! Let's put that in the paper, man. genuine. No roaches, no rat feces. But guess what? Vincenzo's didn't get that right up.
Well, I wouldn't go that far against
them. Because they didn't say no. They said roaches and rat feces.
They did have the singer guy. Volare. Oh.
His is the name of the Lord. We have that, actually. Let's just hold on 1 second, folks. Scott's going to vamp while I actually play that into the mic.
Oh, Lord. You recorded him?
I recorded him. On the down low. I kept it on the down low.
Yeah, what? The Jean Valjean epic song.
I think he thinks he's Jean Valjean, but he's a fucking waiter at Vincenzo.
Well, to be fair, he wasn't that bad.
He wasn't that good either.
Just weird.
He wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's not that bad? Herpes. But, you know, it is.
I think there's treatments for that now, sir.
That's a little snippet of it. You heard all the clinging and clanging. That's people pretending to eat. They had their cutlery. They're just clanging on the plates. Let's act like we're eating. And they flip their food off on the floor. Mine is the name of the Lord. That's what we dealt with. So, you know. And we asked. And there wasn't even like a... I couldn't even like say, how much can we pay him not to sing? Because it's like, if you tip him, what am I supposed to do? Do you have a G string you put your five in?
Steve kept saying, Alexa, volume 3.
Yeah.
It didn't work. He didn't understand that.
He'll sing if you tip him. It's like, maybe he's just a fucking Looney Tune and you should throw his ass out of here. Who knows?
But he was waiting on tables too. Did you notice that?
Not well.
Well.
I mean, it's like, my food is late. You're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Well, folks, the cemetery. Hopefully they didn't have any of this there because we would have to steal it. But, Scott, what is your score? No, yeah, it's smooth. I like it. Makes me cough.
90. A range would be 89 to 91. Mm-hmm. It's a really solid wine. Why not higher score?
Doesn't have to be.
It is what it is. It's really well made. It's just not spectacular. There's nothing about this that's spectacular.
But it's spectacularly enjoyable.
Well,
it's just not spectacularly memorable.
Yeah, and what they've done is created a wine in a specific style, put their own signature on it, the way they oaked it. I think it's a lovely mouthfeel. What am I going to remember about this wine?
That you liked it.
That I liked it. You know, that it was good. That it was... if I anticipated what a California maritage would be, it should be like this.
You'd want it to be like this.
And it's not just average. It's not just good. It's really, really good, folks.
Yeah.
Does it rise to that level of greatness that we like? Do I want it to be better than this? I suppose the symmetry label in any given year could arise to be a higher score. I just don't think this one is. I think it's a 90. It is what it is. Really good wine. And is it worthy of the $50 price? Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it is. That's a really nice price. If I saw it at 35, I would buy 3 or 4 bottles.
And it, like you said, that's a really good score. I think sometimes because we do so many budget and entry-priced wine, sometimes the scores, it's easy to elevate a score just because we think it should be higher than it is. No, this is a 90, and that's a really good score.
Well, it is a 90. Well, I'm giving it 91 on my points,
okay.
But I get what you say. You know, we start talking about collectability, ageability, as you start bumping up the scores, and this isn't really for that. That's not what this wine is. We've already talked about what it is. It's the wine you drink when you wait for your $250 bottle of, you know, single vineyard Napa Cab to mature. It's what you drink. And you love every second of it.
Yeah.
That's what this is. Yeah. And that's okay. That's great. It is worth $52. I mean, it is. And you're like, okay, I like it so much. Do you, what do we have? We had something else on the show that we, it was in the same genre. I mean, one thing we had was we did the Élevage. It costs way more than this. It's like $100. I bought it for $34.5. But
back in the day, too.
Mm-hmm. No, it's just once again, Kroger didn't know what they had. But it's like these wines are so nice. You realize, hey, man, am I looking for wine enjoyment or am I actually collecting? Which am I doing? So if all I'm doing is I want to buy wines that are really enjoyable that I'm going to like, wines like this are excellent yeah. choices. If you're buying to collect and really and think about and drink 25 years down the road, these aren't the wines you should buy, but it doesn't mean you shouldn't buy some of these to drink, you know? So, yes, I buy both. I buy wines that I'm sitting back for, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, but I also buy wines like this because I know that they're really good and I like them.
Mm-hmm.
So 91 of my points, Hall of Fame, tip of the cap to Rodney Strong, making another great wine.
Yeah.
And don't sleep on their $20 stuff. Their Knights Valley Cabernet, very, very good. Their Alexander Valley Cabernet, really good to drink. Doesn't have the nuance, doesn't have the subtlety of this wine. They are more brutes, but if you like brutes, they're good brutes. Good wines.
And brutes might be a little bit harsh. They're just, they're a bigger, bolder style of wine.
The only thing, I don't recommend the Sonoma series, the cheap stuff under $20. I don't recommend that.
Okay.
But that's okay. That's okay. Really is okay. We even tried Goodyears, supposedly, from those. We didn't like it. Never have. Didn't like the Chardonnay either.
Yeah.
Hated their Sauvignon Blanc. Remember that?
That's the one that I remember we didn't care for as much.
Oh, it was awful. Tasted like a melted banana milkshake.
The Chardonnay, we just made fun of it because it's Chardonnay.
Simple oak. Wham, bam, thank you, man. Yeah. Not great. And that's been a long time, you know. You know, Rodney Strong is a little bit kind of like St. Francis for us. They're both Sonoma-centric producers.
Okay.
And we enjoy their high-end stuff. And, you know, we like St. Francis. We like Rodney Strong. I've been to both, by the way.
You know what you're going to get.
Yeah, you do.
There's a level of quality that it's not just you expect it. They deliver on it.
Mm-hmm. Like Rodney Strong. They make a good Zin. But they also make great cabs.
Yep.
St. Francis, they make a good Zin. Their old vine Zin is always good.
Yeah.
So that's what we've got for you tonight. So we love the symmetry. Bravo, Rodney Strong with another strong wine. Tip of the cap. And folks, we
absolutely
try Alexander Valley wines. Try them.
It's not that they get forgotten. I just think they're underappreciated to some degree.
Yeah, they are. They are. And they're normally, they're associated with things like Silver Oak and Jordan. That's not real. I mean, don't focus on that. You know, the Ferrari Coronos of the world are where you should be thinking.
Yeah.
The Rodney Strongs, when they go up in there, you should be thinking about that. Ferrari Corano, this is another thing. This is very Ferrari Corano-esque. And we love Ferrari Corano here on the show. Mm. We love that winery implicitly. And a great wine, by the way. Just their Alexander Valley Cabernet is $32, $33. Great wine.
My favorite
is the
entry
Merlot.
Price Merlot is Ferrari Corona.
When was the last time you had that? We need to have that again.
I haven't seen it anywhere.
It's a giant eagle right now.
Okay, I haven't searched it out then. But
it's on the shelf with Merlots.
Okay.
You know, it has a silver label. You know, it says Ferrari Corona on it.
Does it? Does that start with an F?
It does.
Like this?
I haven't seen it. Where do you
go? I haven't seen it.
Do you stand in the corner of your basement
and
don't see it there?
I haven't seen it.
Where have you gone?
Well,
the Lion's Den does not sell Ferrari Corano. Okay, we understand that.
Why not?
You're like,
they should.
Well, I know, but I wanted to buy my dildos and my lube and Ferrari Corano Merlot in the same place. And I talked to the guy at the front desk, and he looked at me like I was stupid. And I was like, well, I'll just buy my dildos at Kroger's. So I went to Kroger's, and first of all, they didn't have the Ferrari Crano Merlot, and they didn't have any damn dildos. So I just had to end up buying just a bunch of lube. And so they looked at me like I was stupid, especially since they have the self-checkout line. But I didn't use that. I went in through a cashier, and I had 7 bottles of lube and a bunch of Vaseline. And they looked at me like, what are you doing, Scott? And I was like, do you need to see my driver's license? And I showed him my driver's license. Like, sir, you don't have to be 21 to buy lube. And I'm like, well, damn it. I just told him where I was, and I gave him my email. They said, we don't need your email at Kroger's. And I told him anyway, you know? And they're like, sir, instead, your driver's license doesn't have a naked picture of your asshole on it. And I'm like, well, I just had it, and I showed it to them.
You know what,
like,
they didn't say to me?
What?
Sir, your driver's license expired. You're going to have to put all this back.
That's right. That's true. Nevertheless, for Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we're going to bid you adieu. But see you next time here on The Wine Vault. Good night.